AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome to Hybrid, powered by Chingisi Media. All right, every word from Arteta's pre-Port Vale presser. Our Carabao Cup journey begins against Port Vale in the third round, and Mikel Arteta has been facing the press before our trip to Vale Park. During his press conference at the Sober Realty Training Centre, Mikel spoke about his desire to win the competition after we reached the semi-finals in 2024-25, as well as providing an injury update on his squad. On Noni Madueke's injury, yes, it looks like he's going to be out for a few weeks. We don't know yet. We're probably going to have a scan next week again. He felt something at the beginning of the match. He tried to carry on, and at halftime, he was too sore. So let's see. Well, you know, I want to hold my hands up and say that I didn't believe that Madueke was injured. I thought it was a tactical decision. But in a very timely manner, we have a lot of options on the right flank now, especially for tomorrow. But personally, I think he'll opt with Bukayo Saka, considering he's missed quite a big chunk of the last few weeks in terms of matches and the England fixture. And what I think will happen is he will play a half stroke 60 minutes, and then I think someone like a Max Dalman will feature. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of you are thinking Ethan Wanyeri. I'm sure, almost certain, that Ethan Wanyeri will feature, if not start, but it may not necessarily be off that right flank. On if it's weeks rather than months, we hope so. As I said, we need to scan him again to see the real extent of the injury, but it doesn't look too bad. Well, I mean, earlier on I heard 2 months, but you know the kind of thing with wording, the thing with words and technicality, is that weeks could be months, so it could be 5 weeks, that's a month. Do you get what I'm saying? It could be 10 weeks, that's a couple months. So that's a very cheeky way of wording things. On how disappointing it is for him. He was gutted, obviously. Very disappointing to see because he was in such a good state. He looks like a real threat. He was getting some consistency, some flow into the team, and he looked like a real threat. So it's a big miss for us. Yeah, it's a crazy shame because he was in his momentum. He was in his, getting into his rhythm. He was a real threat, as Arteta rightly said. But, you know, it's an opportunity for someone else. Someone like Ethan Wanyeri now to take his opportunity that he's been waiting patiently for and to make sure he performs so that when people like Odegaard and Madueke come back into the side or in, back to fitness and form, he's consolidated his position in the team, and I believe he can do that. Piero Hincapié's injury. Oh no, I didn't know about that. He picked up a little groin injury. We'll have to assess him. But yeah, that's obviously ruled out Hincapié for tomorrow. Bro, let me get some water, mate. Trust me, dog. Can't even breathe, let alone talk, bro. What's all this? What is all this, mate? I'm doing a recording, mate. I'm so unprofessional, mate. You know what I mean? Damn. Can't breathe. Gonna have to edit all that crap out. On if there's a time frame on it. No. I think it will be a short time. Yeah, once again, Hincapié is out for tomorrow. On Kai Havertz's injury. With Kai, we know it will be months with him. I don't know if it can be weeks. You never know because this is Kai and he's a different specimen. We really miss him. Hopefully he will be back and back for the long term as well. So it is very important to look after that knee. So far, he's progressing pretty well. Okay, my view is it'll be interesting to see who comes back first, actually, between Kai Havertz and Gabriel Jesus, the forgotten man at the club. With regards to Jesus, I did allude a couple press conference analysis ago that I thought he would be back around October. Definitely not. I think November at the earliest, because we're effectively in October. You know, we're days away from October. But with regards to Kai, I think it will be a similar kind of time frame. Probably looking at the end of the year as well, November, December time. On if the injuries are just down to bad luck, we looked at everything. The one with Noni is bad luck. It's a very unfortunate incident. With Kai, something similar. With Ben White, it was similar. With Odegaard, same as all the guys that have been out. Very similar. because he damaged his shoulder twice during the same action on the floor, which is very unlikely to happen. With Bukayo, it was more of a muscular injury with the hamstring, maybe something to look at more in depth. And we absolutely did that. We tried to keep it as low as possible. That's what we are trying to do. Well, I've spoken to a number of fans in recent weeks, and some of them, no names, have blamed Arteta's training regime for a spate of injuries that we've had, which the manager has worded as very unfortunate injuries. So basically bad luck. Well, I'm not at the training session. I mean, I know the training ground inside out because of whatever, but I've never actually been privy to seeing the players train at the Sober Realty. But there might be something in that, but I can't really comment because I've never been present. On being able to give minutes to different players in the Carabao Cup tomorrow, yes, it's a lot of players that are going to take part in that, and they fully deserve the minutes. Kepa for sure is one of them. He's been with us, his attitude, the way he supports us in every aspect of his role is the best possible manner. All this as well, they deserve more minutes than what they're getting. Yay! We have one of the squad members in the lineup. So, yeah, so Kepa will be starting in goal. So it's a question of predicting the other 10. But, I mean, yeah, we knew Kepa was going to be in goal. I think a quick one. Well, it'll be difficult now because of a few injuries. But just assuming that these players are fit, I would think it'll be Kepa, White, Mosquera, Saliba, Lewis Skelly, and then Norgaard if fit. Then Wanyeri, Marino on the right. He may go down. No, I think Saka, Trossard, Martinelli. That's my predicted 11 for tomorrow. On if he's surprised by the reaction to our approach against Man City. In football, surprised? I'm not surprised about anything, no. Because I don't read the reaction, lies. But I do get told a little bit what the narrative is around it. Yeah, because you can't escape it. If you tell me that this is the main one, if I'm surprised, I will be extremely surprised. With my knowledge and my know-how and how I analyse a football game, it was impossible for anybody to predict such a dominance from Arsenal throughout 96 minutes because it never happened in 17 years of Pep Guardiola as a manager. So if the narrative goes somewhere else and we talk about dominance, about something else, how you can be dominant against such a team if you have a handbrake, dominance and...
AI agents are everywhere. Automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Handbrake are two different words, but I accept everything. I will learn more to have a different vision. You know, I would like to battle Mikel Arteta in an analysis of, like, we'll see who the bigger analyst is, me or Mikel Arteta. No, but all jokes aside, yeah, it's all well and good saying you dominated Pep Guardiola for 90 minutes or whatever, but two things with that. Pep Guardiola is evolving, so he's not that same Pep Guardiola that we imagine from maybe 5 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, where his sides, you know, he created some of the best sides in football history. That's one. And two, in football, as Arsenal fans would know more than most, or if not anyone, nobody remembers second place. Nobody remembers the team that doesn't win. History only remembers the winners, right history. So to say that, yeah, we dominated Pep Guardiola or we used to dominate Man United back in the day when they won leagues, but, you know, Ferguson was playing counter-attack with Ronaldo and Rooney but would lose and things like that. No one remembers all that. So at the end of the day, that's a hard luck story. It's just about winning. To summarise that waffle, history only remembers the winners. On why Miles Lewis-Skelly hasn't played as much this season so far. Yes, and sometimes performances of other players as well. You can be at a really good level, but somebody can be at a different level. Or it's just that I have the perception at the moment that it's better to play or start somebody else in the team. It doesn't mean Miles has done something wrong at all. Completely the opposite. So when he has the chance, he has to try to show the level that he's at, elevate it, and make the decision even harder. I like the way Mikel Arteta is trying to avoid saying Ricardo Calafiori's name game when he says a different player, the performances of other players and things like that, like as if it's code. I mean, yeah, no, but all jokes aside, Ricardo Calafiori has been exceptional this season and warrants his position in the team based on his performances. So when Miles, yeah, I agree with everything Arteta said, apart from not naming Calafiori, who we all know he's referring to. So when Miles does get the opportunity, he has to take it and then make it a real battle for that left flank position, left back position, which, you know, they're two top exceptional players, and it will be a phenomenal battle if Miles can really grow and keep improving. And I expect him to play tomorrow, start tomorrow, and have a fantastic performance. On if it's a fluid situation regarding where Miles can play, yes, fluid, especially because if you look at the amount of time that Miles defends and attacks in certain spaces, he's much more a midfielder than a fullback. But there are moments that he needs to be in that position. He can absolutely do it. He's shown it. He's shown that and done it at the highest level in the Champions League. So there's no question about that. Yeah, I think it goes over a lot of people's head how strong that boy is. Like, put it this way. Miles Lewis-Skelly is in the top five strongest players in the Arsenal team. And the boy is, I'm pretty sure he just turned 19 last month or this month. I'm pretty sure. But yeah, he is a real physical specimen, you know, fast, strong, athletic, fast twitch fibers. But on top of all of that, he's technically superb. Like, I'm a big Miles Lewis-Skelly fan. I like his mentality, his personality, his hunger, his desire, his lion mentality. But all that encompassed, for me, Ricardo Calafiori warrants his place in that starting 11 as we speak in this moment in time. So it's up to Miles to take that opportunity with both hands. On when Martin Odegaard might be back and if he needs surgery. No surgery, he's totally fine. He's already been training and it will be a matter of days, I think. Okay, that's interesting. So that, well, like I said earlier, I go by wording. So if it's a matter of days, with an S, that's a plural, that puts him out of tomorrow, but puts him in contention for Newcastle. Interesting.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
On how to find the balance of getting Max Dalman minutes while being around the first team squad. Well, learning from him probably. First of all, preparing and having a very good understanding of his new situation and all the things that are different in his life. So we need to change his times. We need to change his education, probably his allocation and where he is with his family. His diet is different. His sleep patterns become different. The training load is different. The amount of information, pressure and exposure is different. So we have to manage a lot of factors into that, a lot of factors. You add a lot of minutes with very different teams as well. We need to be cautious, and that's what we are trying to do in the best possible way to find that balance to keep Max as connected as possible with the first team, because he's undoubtedly a player that we can help with and join the first team. But that's why we need the right mixture of minutes like he did the other day with the under-23s and with England to have that exposure when he needs to play with us. He's ready to do that. Okay, that was a very wordy paragraph. But from what I'm gauging from that, Max isn't going to start tomorrow. But hopefully, fingers crossed, he gets onto the pitch at some point, gets some minutes. We have to remember that Max is a young boy, a child, you know. One of exceptional ability. I've never seen anything like that. But we have to remember he is a child. He's a little boy. He's in just gone into year 11. Due to be 16 in a couple months. So we have to take care of him. His welfare comes first, you know. I've never even heard Max speak, to be honest. But he just seems, he's got that footballers, that new school footballers mentality, where you got that poker face. You don't show nothing, you know. You're just focused, job at hand, you know, kind of unassuming. And I love that about him. So obviously the Haaland kind of, you know, school of thought is really thriving right now. I know Haaland quite well, actually, because, But yeah, Max Dalman needs to be looked after. But yeah, I did say actually in some of the interviews I did on the weekend that I would like to see Max Dalman feature in 20 fixtures across the season. So I think he's currently on about 3 or 4. So hopefully he gets another one tomorrow. On how older players react to getting nutmegged by him. At the beginning, they responded immediately, kick him. That was the first one. And Max, to be fair, he was excellent. Stood up and got to the next one. You can really take it personally of someone who was 14 last year at some point when he was doing certain things to players and now everybody loves him. You just want to hug him, help him. He's such a nice boy as well, and he's very much liked by everybody here. It brings responsibility to look after someone with that talent and make sure we just do what we have to do to make sure we're given the best chance to exploit his talent. That's all. Yeah, I mean, I've noticed that. I've seen, obviously, a number of kind of, I don't want to say cliques because that's got negative connotations, but I've seen a number of groups within the Arsenal squad. So you've obviously got, you got players that can kind of flit in within the different, let's just use the word cliques. So, and I think that guy is Declan Rice, where he can go with the, you know, the British lads or the black British lads or the Haylem boys in Ethan and Miles. Then you've got the Spanish contingent with Marino, Raya, Zubimendi. Then obviously, and then probably you've got someone like Mosquera that will go there. And then obviously you've got Saliba and Gabriel who seem quite close. I think Jokeres is an interesting one. It looks like he's kind of mates with Trossard, who's close with Declan Rice. But as I said, Declan Rice flits into all of those groups. With Bukayo, so obviously you've got Kai Havertz and Odegaard who are close. I think Bukayo, similar to Declan Rice, is kind of very fluid in the kind of groups he mixes with. But yeah, it's a very interesting one. And Max Dalman, I've noticed Lewis Skelly and Ethan kind of have taken to him. Yeah, and Declan Rice too. We will do that gradually because he's been out for a while. But I like what I saw the other day when he came on. Yeah, I mean, like I was saying earlier, I would like to see Bukayo Saka get on the pitch. I know a lot of you Arsenal fans will be like, nah, don't let him play. You know, it's Port Vale, he might get injured. But I think match fitness will do him the world of good ahead of the cauldron that is St. James's Park, a place that we do awfully at. I think Newcastle are, if not the only team to have a favourable record against us in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 fixtures, as they've won 5 of 8, which is amazing. I think Liverpool got a kind of similar kind of, you know, similar kind of record with us over that kind of spate of matches. But other than that, I think we have a favourable record against pretty much everyone else in the league. So it's a tough game coming up ahead, so we need everyone firing on all cylinders. On if we're looking to use Gabriel Martinelli on the right after his goal against City, he can, he won't. And a lot of the runs that he makes sometimes as well are from a central position in relation to what phase of play we are playing and what his starting position is. And actually, his impact has been really good for the team. Yeah, Gabriel Martinelli on the right? Nah, not for me. I mean, to do a job when there's injuries and when there's, but we've got options there now, like I alluded to earlier with Ethan Wanyeri and Max, young Max. So we don't need to be fiddling around with that kind of stuff. I don't want to see Trossard or Martinelli on the wing, on the right wing. I think Martinelli, centre forward, coming on as a sub, stretching the play, running, you know, I think that's his role. I would like to see him start tomorrow, albeit on the left flank, and I would like to see Trossard start up top. On if he's frustrated by the narrative of us not taking the handbrake off. No, I was just surprised because when I saw everything and watching it back and all the stats, I was surprised. But I respect everybody's opinion, and if I can see and learn something that I haven't seen, I'm more than happy to do so. So that's never an issue. I don't think that one player makes that. When you see the behaviour of our team, if you're going to define that with one player playing one position, I understand the collective sport in a completely different way. Then we played Ebbs on the right-hand side. Could he play 90 minutes? That's a question I put to myself because none of you know the load that he can do. So it's easy to say he could have played from the start. Maybe not, because he already played 2 games from the start and he's never played as a right attacking midfielder. So that's another one, a new element for him, but that's all good. Okay, 2 things with that. One, I believe you have to, in like kind of competitive sport, I believe you have to always believe in your source. Otherwise, there's no point in being involved with it. It's like me, I've got to believe that my channel can grow. Otherwise, what's the point? So that's one thing. And secondly, yeah, obviously, Mikhail, we're not privy to this information. So we're all assuming. We can only assume and give our opinions because you're not going to tell us. We're not there. So for us to assume that Ebbs could have started, well, what else could we do? One love.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.